You are listening to SPN, the Sports Podcasting Network.
Today, live on SPN Radio, your new live show about the beautiful game in all its glory, with Dwayne Rowlands and Kevin Laramie. Give us a call. Studio line 929-477-3874. MLS, EPL, La Liga, Champions League, all is fair game. Powered by the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit us at sportspodcastingnetwork.com.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Dwayne Rowlands, along with Kevin Laramie, for our pilot edition of Soccer Today. Kevin, I'm a little distracted here because as I'm recording this, there is a Champions League game on, and if you know me, you know that I support the sky blue, although the neon yellow today, Kevin. How are you doing? Are you less distracted?
Well, for me, it's not the game itself, but the actual neon yellow that's distracting me. It's the fact that it's so bright and so shiny on my TV screen. Well, no, but I have to say, this game is quite entertaining, too, with Manchester City just barely missing a chance now at the end of the first half. It's 1-0 Real Madrid at home, so right now it's 1-0 on aggregate as well. But, Dwayne, we all know you support Manchester City, but it's soccer today. We couldn't do it any other day than today, so...
Well, yeah, it has to be today. It has to be soccer today. Lots going on in the soccer world, obviously. 929-477-3874. That's that studio number. You can call us at any time, and we'll be happy to entertain you if you'd like. Look, this game so far, Kevin, I didn't anticipate anything. This is how I mentally got ready for it. I just decided that it was not possible that City could win this game. So if I have that mentality, I can't be disappointed.
No, of course, you cannot be disappointed, but it's a way to live your life, Dwayne, that you basically always feel angsty and, it's always bracing for the worst. But I have to say, I think it's a PTSD syndrome that you have been following Manchester City and TFC for all those years.
Yeah, well, yeah, Manchester City, of course, has given me some victories. I'm currently wearing my my Sky Blue Champions 2012 jersey. One of the greatest days of my sporting life. I can still remember. I've told the story before, I think, on other podcasts about how I just randomly started punching a table when Aguero scored that goal. Had a massive bruise on my arm, and I'm not too sure why. And no, I was not hammered, folks. I was completely stone cold sober. That was the strange thing about that day, really, in many ways. Yeah, just started punching. I had a German man on my back. Yeah, the table was most certainly hammered. It is halftime now, 1-0 for Real Madrid. You're going to probably know that if you listen to us after the fact on the podcast, but we hope that you listen to us live as we try and start this initiative, which is, yes, inspired by the show that is no longer in Soccer Morning, but it won't necessarily be exactly that. We're not affiliated with them, but we did listen to them. We were both guests on that show many times, and that is sort of where we're going with this, what we think we're trying to fill, the niche we're trying to fill, a live show that we hope can one day get close to daily, if not daily. But we're going to need your support to do that if that is to continue on. But this is the initial pilot period. We're going to work out some kinks. We've done a few shows, a few open line shows, a few post-game shows out there already to test the live Blog Talk Radio format out. We'll be moving on to our own format eventually. But that's what we're doing right now. Kevin, do you want to share the Patreon link and sort of give your thoughts on what this initiative is about?
Absolutely. So right now we're actually working on building the studio at my house, the actual studio that I would have in IFDN line inside the studio with phone calls possibility, live broadcasting on our own, not necessarily through Blog Talk Radio. We might continue to use Blog Talk Radio because it does bring us a great platform to interact and manage a live show with you all. Again, We repeat, you can give us a call at any time, 929-477-3874 here on SPN Radio. And you can expect as well right here on this very own platform, more coverage, daily coverage, when we're talking about the Olympics and the Euros later this summer. This platform will be put to use as well for your comments, for your answers. But for this initiative to be a success, for this project to really take off the way we think it should take off, the way it's an evolution of a podcast platform where we actually need your help now to create content with us, give us calls, to give us your opinions, your take, your voice will be heard. But for this, we as well need your help, not just on giving us calls, but giving us a dollar a month, giving us a couple of whatever is appropriate for you. There's no amount that is too small. So patreon.com, that's patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. For this, you can have a $10 premium subscription to the network. And with this $10 a month, you always brought up to the top of the queue if you give us a call. If not, if you're just a Patreon, you still will be acknowledged and appreciated like we always do, you beautiful human beings. But we need more of those beautiful human beings to be able to continue this initiative and all the technical side of it, which we are in the process of bringing it to you. If you know me, you know I'm an audio freak, so you can expect a top-notch radio quality 100% this summer when we're done with the studio project.
Yeah, look, and the promise that I'm going to make, you often when you're tying into Patreon initiatives, is you make promises, you make sort of gifts that are out there. My gift is to make this a daily show eventually. That is what we're trying to do. I don't know what the figure is that makes sense. I do think that right now we can promise to get this out to you at least weekly, once a week to have a live show, to have call-in capabilities. Certainly, we will continue on with our other podcasts, which there are many, as you know, the Two Solitudes, 2S Extra, you have the USL Radio, you've got Five Rings, you've got all of the non-soccer-related podcasts that are out there, and the NASL Nightcap as well, which is the one that I'm not involved in on the soccer side, but that we're very proud of. Kevin, any other shows you want to throw out there quick before we continue on our soccer topics for the day?
Well, it always seems a little bit egotistical for me to say the name of this show, but Kevin Talks Cycling. Yeah, that's me. I talk cycling, and I like to talk cycling. So there's that show. There's Gridiron Radio that's going to come back very soon talking about Anheg or Throwball. So there's all those possibilities, but hence the name Soccer Today, because yes, we do believe that eventually this show will be a daily show, but for it to be reality, we need your support, and you can do so again, once again, Patreon, that's patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork, or just look in the description of this show and you will find the link as well.
All right, enough of that for now. We'll touch base with that a little bit later on to remind you, because we have to, again, if we want to make it daily, we need the support. Look, first half of this Champions League game has gone, I think, mostly to the way that that I expected it, having, as I said, I mean, those low expectations heading in. But in actual fact, other than I'm just looking at the goal right now, and I'm not sure whether Joe couldn't have done a little bit more there. Joe Hart, of course, the English number one. Kind of a really tough angle that picked up. It was a nice shot. I don't know. Maybe I'm being overly harsh. That is my way sometimes when we're talking about Manchester City. It's kind of a frustrating way to go down, only the one goal so far in this game. But if they can just manage to nick one, and in some ways, the later it goes, as long as it stays within that one where a City goal would win it for them, I'd almost rather them nick it in the 85th minute so that I don't have to pace up and down while trying to do a live show watching the last couple minutes of the game.
Yeah, but you mentioned that Joe Hart on the goal in the return leg on today in the Bernabeu. Yesterday, too, when Griezmann scored his goal, you see the goalkeeper for Munich, Neuer, was way too advanced on Griezmann. And he was like caught in no man's land that he had to commit, and he committed going forward. And that was his downfall, because it was the forgot to cover the near post. And it's rare that you see this, a guy one-on-one and the attacker shooting the ball on the near post on the short side. And that's what Griezmann did. And that's what was the winning goal for Madrid yesterday. So it's interesting that goalkeepers, world-class goalkeepers, on the biggest stage of them all, still do make mistakes.
Yeah, it is the toughest, the most thankless position on a soccer pitch. No one, or very rarely, gives you credit when for the big saves. In fact, I'm Kevin's an amateur keeper as well, so we both know that the best saves you make are the ones that no one notices half the time. And I'm not comparing myself to these guys, of course, but certainly a thankless position. Well, maybe I could have in that goal. Maybe I would have had that, Joe. I would have had that save. No, I wouldn't.
Come on,
Joe. Like 7-1. I'll be 7-0 already. My nerves would have got me right off the top. It's an odd thing, Kevin. So go ahead.
Well, it is an odd thing, but while we're talking about an English Premier League team playing in the Champions League, one team that will play in the Champions League next year, and it's a story, the biggest story in the world of football in the last couple of years because of the Cinderella aspect, because of the fluke and weird aspect, but Leicester City, Dwayne, have won the Premier League yesterday.
Yeah, we talked a lot about that on Two Solitudes. We don't normally talk about the European game on our Two Solitudes show, which is designed to be a Canadian-focused podcast, but certainly that was such a worldwide phenomena that we needed to speak of it. It's interesting if you take it to the Champions League specifically. A lot of people have the idea that Leicester's going to really struggle in that Champions League next year, and I do agree that the depth is a bit of a concern, but I think that the way that they play, that the way that they set up, the way that they defend as a team, so long as they can maintain that core, and there's no indication to suggest that they won't, will allow them to be pretty successful, particularly against the second-tier teams. Whether they can go down and compete with a Real Madrid, I'm not too sure, although they handed City their ass this year, so City's competing with Real Madrid is the point I'm making, so you don't want to completely discount that, but certainly, I think that Leicester will go in with the mentality to do the work that's needed to beat those, you know, Ukrainian teams or Russian teams or those teams that you somehow give you trouble in that group stage and has, you know, back early on particularly, and I always go back to Man City when I'm talking about the European game because it's the team I know most, but in the early days of City's struggles in the Champions League, that was a lot of what it came down to. They went onto the continent and they tried to play the same way they played in England and they were embarrassed at times. They looked terrible and it was only in the last little while that they figured out how to play over there. And I just get this feeling, Kevin, that Leicester will play the way that they need to right away. There won't be any inherent arrogance about their play, this belief that they have to, you know, go out there and play pretty football. No, they're just going to get on with it, right? And I think that may allow them to be more competitive in the Champions League next year than some people think. I'm not suggesting they're going to go out and win it or something, but I think they're going to be a little bit better than people think.
Speaking of winners, Dwayne, we have our first phone call. You are now live on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Jonathan Tannenwald calling to make sure Dwayne's okay. I'm worried about him.
Oh, hi, Jonathan. It was a bit awkward in the build-up as we were prepping the show, and I was trying to watch it and swearing at Kevin a lot. But, no, it's okay so far, Jonathan.
What did I do to you?
Yeah. No, it's a tough slug to do two things at once, but it's probably better for the mentality. The cat's less frightened than he normally is when I'm watching a City game at home. He's out and about as opposed to cowering under the bed right now.
Jonathan Danwell of Philly.com is joining me right now.
So Jonathan, well, Jonathan, you did call. You just wanted to make sure I was okay, and we thank you for giving us a little support as we try and knock off this initiative here. I don't know, Jonathan, any topics that are burning a hole in your brain box there that you want to get off your chest today beyond my neurosis around Manchester City?
I'm sure I could conjure something up if I really had to. I want to throw this one at you, and I don't know if you've discussed it yet on this show relative to the other 50 that you do. It's something that came to mind by way of a guy we all know in Vancouver, Tyler Green, who does his own radio podcast out there and used to work for the TSN radio affiliate out that way, which is the sagging Canadian dollar, which I will benefit from when I come up to Montreal a week from Friday, going to hurt the prospective launch of the Canadian Premier League?
I think it might help it in some ways because it might convince the Edmontons and Ottawas of the world to jump ship and to move over, because that's, as we've seen with the Fury, Jonathan, when they had to completely basically rip that championship caliber roster apart within the NASL to try and just afford the bills this year, that had everything to do with the dollar. So if you put it into a Canadian Premier League perspective and you get the right sponsorships on board, so your entire, you know, some of that travel is covered, some of those issues are covered in you're paying everyone in Canadian dollars, it's an equal playing field. And it may, as I said, convince Edmonton and Ottawa that that's the way to go. And I think that the success of that league is going to really be dependent on how strong the top clubs in it off the launch are going to be. They're going to want to have some level of competence and some level of establishment that coming in for the league to have a chance off of the launch. That's my thought on it. Certainly, it can't be very intriguing or interesting to Edmonton to contemplate flying to Puerto Rico, mostly using U.S. funds in the days ahead and that's summer season. It'd be interesting to see how Puerto Rico does in this league too, and with the problems down there. And there's actually, I'll ask you that. Well, what are your thoughts on that Puerto Rico situation? Can they possibly launch a football club in that environment right now?
Yeah, look, well, there's a pretty good recent history, actually, of San Juan getting behind soccer teams. There have been teams down there before. Now, obviously, the Puerto Rican territory's governmental finances are a basket case. But I don't see why that should stop a soccer team with money that I think could probably get some support down there. You know, travel costs are going to be high. But I think they can do it. And, you know, a little Puerto Rico-Miami rivalry could be okay. Now, I have, of course, as people know, I have skepticism about the whole NASL enterprise and what the various owners of the various teams, what their motivations really are. And I expressed some of that when I was on the NASL nightcap recently. But look, if it works, more power to them.
Jonathan, one question that always been a tough question, and it's been raised on the Tim and Sid show on Sportsnet here in Canada. Are you allowed to cheer for more than one soccer team, Jonathan? It's a burning question. It's one that I'm going to ask our listeners to chive into very soon. But what do you expect? Are you allowed to cheer for more than one team, national or club or country? What do you think?
Well, if Tim and Sid are only cheering for one soccer team on the planet at all whatsoever, and it's not the Canadian national team, let me know.
It is.
Yes, well, in fairness to us, that he gets out of the sports. Go ahead.
By their logic, as you have it to me, they're not allowed to cheer for a club of any kind?
No, I believe that, well, he's a Benfica fan, Sid is, and Tim was actually playing devil's advocate to him on yesterday's show, and he was suggesting that you can't, if he cheers for Benfica, he can't cheer for anyone else, but of course he does very loosely cheer for TFC as well, although he has a bit of a, an up and down relationship, as many of us do with that club. So it is a complicated thing. Jonathan, this is my feeling on this. And two thoughts. One, you can do whatever the hell you want. First off, I mean, there's no rule to fandom. Yeah. My personal feeling is that for me, I can only cheer for one soccer team per league. Now that said, in the world of hockey, as those that know me know, I do kind of cheer for two teams in the NHL. One, my childhood team in the city that I live in, I also wish well, although if I had to rank them, then my childhood team would go ahead, and they're in trouble tonight, I think, too, by the way. But that's a different topic for a different show, I think. So, you know, there's no black and white in this world. That's what I'm getting at.
There's only one world in which there is black and white, and that's Sports Talk Radio.
I need more hot takery. Is that what you're saying? I need more hot takes here.
Well, I mean, at the high level at which Sid and, Tim and Sid operate. Well, look, I'll go down that road. I know you don't want to, but I will, because you took me down that road a couple of weeks ago, and I told you stop.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, you were saying that the Capitals were Stanley Cup contenders, and
oh,
I told you to cut it out.
Yeah, sorry, I was back on the soccer. Well, you know, we'll see tonight. I'm not. This is a very stressful sports day for me in many ways. I always maintain it, and you know, even though I've worked in sports media and now kind of do whatever the hell it is I do right now, I've tried to you get into that no cheering in the press box rules. I sort of rejected that a few years ago in the sense that I never wanted to lose my fandom, because what's the point of sports if you can't have some level of care out there? And I certainly am caring by what I'm staring at the TV in the background while talking to you right now. So. That and tonight is going to be a long flow, and then I've got the Raptors to cheer me up or otherwise on Thursday too. So it's going to be a long, long day. I also have my my girlfriend, her other half, Shura. She's a Liverpool fan, so she's going to be a basket case tomorrow afternoon in the Europa League semifinal. So it's going to be a very stressful day here in the house is what we're getting here, guys.
Well, you've got yourself a girlfriend who's a soccer fan. That's one step forward.
Yeah, that was necessary. Let's just put it that way. that was not something that was really, that was a key component to that search back in the day. But that's
Jonathan,
a topic we probably should know.
Jonathan Thunderwall from Philly.com, thank you very much for giving us a call. We'll take a small break here on Live on SBN Radio. It's Soccer Today.
You are listening to SPN Radio, powered by the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit sportspodcastingnetwork.com for more. Give us a call, studio line 929-477-3874.
Kevin, we never really got your side of that more than one team debate there, such as it is debate. This is a great barstool kind of topic that we're having now. Well, what are your thoughts there? Can you have more than one team, Kevin?
Well, I will say my opinion on this matter in a second. I want to invite our listeners right now to as well communicate with us via Twitter at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Larmé for myself, or hashtag SPN Radio. Give us a call to talk about, are you allowed to cheer for more than one team in the world of soccer, club, or country? Dwayne, what I think about this is, first of all, I have to agree with you. You can do the hell you want. You can cheer for 1, 2, 3, 10 teams if you want. You can be a bandwagon jumpers if you want. It's fine. But for me, what interests me is a team that I cheer for has to capture my attention, not just on the sporting side, but everything else. I'm such a person that I do pride myself to have some values. Maybe not as much as I should, but I do pride myself to having some. And when a club or philosophy or identity of a certain club or player or personality that is in a club actually give us a lot of feeling, and that's what I actually love about sports. So when I have that, and when a new club that I see this in, I want to be allowed to cheer for. So, yes, I think you're allowed to cheer for more than one club, but in the same league, it gets kind of touchy there.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose. And look, there's interest. If you read the book Soccernomics, it's called here in North America, the great book there that sort of deals with issues like this. They have a whole section on this very topic where they talk about how the idea of the fever pitch idea, where you were born into a club and you passionately follow it up and down and you never leave it and you never go. That those fans do exist, and certainly a lot of us aim to be that kind of fan. But it's not necessarily the norm that there are people that change teams. We talked about it on Two Salt Tooth last week at 2S Extra, where we talked about this idea, this phenomenon that's going right now, where fans are turning away from big clubs, so-called big clubs, to support more local clubs because they feel more connected to the local team, that they're rejecting the idea that, here in Canada, for instance, that they're rejecting that they're not Whitecaps fans anymore because they find that experience is not what they once were when the Whitecaps were a USL team. Same with TFC, although there wasn't TFC, of course, didn't exist at the USL level, but they were Lynx fans and they just never felt the same connection. I know people that were big Lynx fans that really disappeared once the TFC days started. So there's lots of different changes that can happen out there. And, even I look at my own relationship with Toronto FC and how when I started the 24th Minute back in 2008, the second season, I started it right at the end of the second season. I was as big a fan as you would ever find of that team. I was, it was easy for me to launch a site where I did five articles a day back in the day, and I can't even imagine doing five articles a day anymore. But at any rate, but it was just like I was. That's all I wanted to do. It's all I wanted to think about. It was that they have superseded City even back then. And then as the losing went on, and as the frustration with ticket prices and things like that, and as I got more and more involved in the media side of things, I became less and less of a diehard passionate fan and more of an objective observer. And I still, you know, very much enjoy TFC at times. I enjoy being part of that culture, that lifestyle, that environment. But am I the same fan as I was then? No. It changed. It changed for sure. There's no doubt about that.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. Area code 647. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Oh, hi. My name is Vincent Alvarado. And, I typically say I'm from Toronto.
It's an honor to talk to you after years and years of hearing you on fucking morning, Vince from Toronto, finally on our show.
You know, that's actually not accurate because I'm from Richmond Hill, but I would always say from Toronto because if I said I'm from Richmond Hill, all the Americans would be like, you know, where is that, Virginia? So, but this is a Canadian show and Dwayne will know where I'm from. So, yeah, this is Vince from Richmond Hill calling in, yeah.
All right. Is that anything like, you know, Gino from Woodbridge, the kind of the old skit back in the Band 590 days, Vince? No? any thoughts they want to share today? But thanks for calling. First off, Vince, and we followed you on Twitter for many years. I sometimes disagree with you, as you know, but that's fine. That's what the world's all about. Any thoughts you want to share today?
First off, big thanks to you guys. You know, yeah, Dwayne, we have our disagreements, but you're one of the guys I respect the most, not just in Canadian soccer media, but just soccer media in general. And Kev, you're up there as well. You guys do so much for the game up here. You know, Kev, you wear so many hats. And so just, I guess hats off to the both of you for doing this, especially, you know, Soccer Morning is ending. Love the show, love the call in, the fan interaction or, you know, caller interaction. And you guys bringing it back, north of the border. So, I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure there are many others who do so as well.
Now, our question, Vince, before we let you go, are you allowed to cheer for more than one team, club or country? Country, I doubt it, but club, are you allowed to cheer for more than one team?
It's a complicated – well, first, I had another question that I wanted to ask. I'll get to that after.
Okay,
it's about the Canadian Premier League, if that's what we're going to call it. But to get to your question, Kevin – it's weird, okay, because I'm first and foremost, I'm a Canadian national team fan, and you guys know that for sure on you know, me losing my mind, during every game and what have you. But I'm also a Peruvian national team fan because I am, my background is Peruvian, and I'm very closely connected to that. And so I lose my mind when they play as well. And like Canada, Peru is also a very frustrating team to watch. That's how I feel about that. If you have a legitimate connection to a country, I don't see any problem with cheering them on. On the club side, it's weird because at first I was like, oh, I'm totally a TFC fan, you know, go Reds and, you know, and all of that. But, you know, I don't live in Toronto. I'm not able to go to BMO. I've only been to BMO for Canada games. I sometimes don't like how, you know, Toronto perhaps, you know, overlooked the Canadian player, not so much this season, which I'm happy about, but at times that really got to me. And, I have found myself, you know, perhaps when the Toronto Blizzard return in a couple of years, I'll probably going to, you know, jump on that bandwagon and that will probably be my team. But, it's weird because I don't really – right now I don't really feel like I have that connection to a club team. So it's not really a place for me to talk about. You know, I'm a well-wisher, I guess, of TFC and of Everton. And those have been the teams that I follow if I follow along their games. But do I call myself a supporter of them? No. And that's how I feel. So I can't really give you that perspective. Perhaps maybe I need to play some more FIFA and play some more with TFC. I mean, every time I play FIFA, I sell Clint Irwin, I sign Milan Borjan, I sell Josie, put Molan Babouli up top, and so, yeah, it's I'm that kind of person. So, you know, it's not a place for me to really talk.
Fair enough. You said you wanted to talk with the first off. I didn't actually know you were Peruvian descent. I have a lot of for whatever reason there are a lot of Peruvians in the Canadian national team fan base. Max and Martin, my buddies, they were over here just a couple weekends ago on Max's birthday. All the Peruvian guys, and I've sort of adopted them as my South American team just because I know so many Peruvians. So I can understand what you mean by them being a frustrating team to watch because I've been watching them a little bit more than I have other South American teams lately. But anyway, Max, you wanted to talk about the Premier League. You had a question about that?
Yeah, you know, Dwayne, you've been like the foremost guy covering it. And so I wanted to get your opinion on this because we've seen, you know, the success of League One Ontario, and you know, third season just started, you know, and I'm excited about it. PLSQ is doing its thing in Quebec, Kevin, as you know, and you know they've been stable as well. You know, I believe they're adding a few more teams soon. Unfortunately, the West doesn't have anything, and I was wondering when this Premier League starts, you know, and we have those teams in the West. Do you think that perhaps can finally galvanize the West into forming, you know, those high-performance third-division leagues for their younger players, you know, modeled after League One and modeled after a PLSQ?
Yeah, you'd hope so, yeah, and I know exactly what you're getting at there. And obviously BC is the place that you would look at with the most level of confidence that they could pull something like that off. In fact, you know, they have some high-performance leagues there right now, but they're not semi-pro. They're not necessarily at the same level as PLSQ or League One Ontario. And certainly, I think that having some more competition for eyeballs and competition for development spots in the West will be something that is beneficial. And I know this is where I get myself into trouble with my anti-Whitecaps stuff, but I really do have a concern about the amount of monopoly that they have in the development side, in the eyeball side in the West. And I think that the Premier League, the Canadian Premier League, when it does launch, and it is, guys, it's going to happen. It can only help that because I believe very strongly that competition can spur that on. And I believe very, very strongly that we do need those tier three leagues almost as much as we need the Premier League. They're 1A, 1B in terms of needs to me. I've seen so much value in the growth of League One Ontario in just the 3 years that you just can't help but think that it would just be tenfold the benefit you'd get if you could get out in BC. And then from there, if you can get into the rest of the provinces, that would be great. And I don't mean to be dismissive of them, but it's more important to get to the places where the game is most popular first and then spread out from there.
Vince from Richmond Hill, thank you very much for calling the show.
Thank you guys for doing it. This won't be the last you hear of me.
All right, cheers,
perfect.
Man.
All right, we're moving on to our next caller, area code 514. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hi, you're live on the air.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, not bad, you?
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Patrick. I'm calling from Montreal.
How you doing, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Anyways, so I think you're allowed to cheer for more than one team. Obviously, I'm an Impact fan. I'm also a Manchester United fan. But when it comes to national, I think, you know, being Canadian, we're in a kind of a particular situation, not being so relevant on the world stage yet, you know. So obviously, I cheer for Canada, but I'll also cheer for England.
That's very interesting.
Because, I don't know. Probably, you know, just because I follow the Premier League and I know a lot of English players and, you know, it just... But even before I really started following the Premier League, I just found myself, you know, attracted to, I guess, the English style of football, you know? Like a bit more freewheeling. I mean, not always the prettiest, but, you know, they work hard and, you know, it's pretty much up and down. So I guess that's what I enjoyed of it.
It almost has a hockey tie-in. It's the English style back in the day, the up and down, straight ahead. It's almost like it's appealing to the Canadian eye because I think it's almost hockey-like in its workmanlike atmosphere and the way that it sort of goes up and down in lines, as opposed to the ticky-tack stuff, which is pretty, but also can be pretty suffocating at times. If you look at the Spanish teams and all that, they were excellent. I agree 100% that. You should be able to cheer for your I call it a heritage team, but even if it's not a heritage, just, you know, I don't have an issue with rooting on a country and all that sort of stuff. I do hope that all Canadians will maintain at least a soft spot for the Canadian national team. That's my position on that you should support where you're from. And it sounds like you do that.
For sure. I mean, I would love to see a Canadian national team game at that Saputo. I'd definitely be out there for sure. 100%. So
it's,
but
it's been years.
As far as United go, though, for United's sake, I hope that City does not advance so that we still have a slim hope of qualifying for the Champions League next year. But it's not looking good, eh?
Well, you might get the half of that wish there. No, City had the chance to take great control of that race for the fourth or third spot to play Arsenal next week, which is kind of a bit of a game that might decide that third, fourth spot. But certainly it's been an odd year for Manchester City with Pep coming in and you know, Pellegrini is just a lame duck coach there forever. And they only really got going in the last little while in the Champions League and have just been so up and down. But yeah, people joke that the nightmare for a United fan is the idea Liverpool wins the Europa League, City wins the Champions League, United finishes fourth, and somehow their two great rivals, their two local rivals, knocked them out of the Champions League spot on a technicality.
Yeah, that might make me cry, actually. But I don't think either of those are going to happen. But, I mean, we'll see. But, Kevin, yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the impact. I think it's obvious that they're missing, like, kind of like a box-to-box midfielder. Would there be anybody available this summer, like, on the international transfer window? I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't follow that stuff that much. I don't know if you have been following that, if there's any players that you think might be interesting for the impact to try and go after as a third DP or anything like that.
There's always a lot of big name, Patrick, available in the summer transfer window. The question is, are Montreal willing to invest more when they have a lot on the pitch as well already with Nacho and
right.
Drogba? Drogba is the end of the season. Is there going to be the end of his career probably this season with Montreal? But the thing is, with the injury to Andres Romero, which probably will be back around this summer, is probably the type of player that we need with Montreal, that consistent right midfielder that would take a spot consistently for 90 minutes. That, yes, Arturo is useful, but we haven't seen consistently this position on the pitch been used because there's always a substitution at this spot. Either Antivero, Venegas, or Arturo doesn't take that brass ring that's available in that position. And when Romero, hopefully when he comes back this summer at 100%, will be able to take back that mantle and be that type of player that can work hard, especially close to that sideline, on the flank, from box to box, to get those opportunities and those centers and cross into Drogba and on Nacho's side. So I think subtraction, addition by subtraction, not adding anybody, but just returning from injuries, might be the key for Montreal, at least in this spot.
Okay, because I kind of felt that the big difference between Montreal and Toronto was really that central midfielder. You know, you look at Michael Bradley, he's kind of that central midfielder that can go box to box. And I really think, you know, if you want to have success, you really need to shore up that spine. And I like who we've got there right now, but I think if we really want to contend, we definitely need an upgrade.
Yeah,
and probably an upgrade at Cabrera as well.
Yeah, well, Cabrera hasn't been the same since he got that knock on the head. I know he's been cleared from the concussion protocol and everything, but he hasn't been the same player. And again, today in the practice, he stepped on Didier Drogba's foot. Drogba stopped the practice, went in the golf cart back to the dressing room. Apparently he's fine and he will see him practice tomorrow. But that's the type of thing that Cabrera has been doing since that big knock on the head that he received almost a month ago now. But you're right,
I mean,
in a way. But no, if every ship could settle in that number 10 position and get used to it, that's where he was trained as a player younger. And if he gets that time to regain his marks, regain his confidence at that position with wingers like Piatti and maybe Romero this summer or Naduro that's fast, maybe he has the key for this offense to generate more service to Piatti and Drogba, which seems to be
right.
what is lacking to actually get results and goals over the last few weeks.
I like Ship. I just find if he had a bit more speed, that I could really see him being that kind of like Paul Scholes box-to-box physical midfielder that we need. But I just don't see him turning into that, and I really think that's the biggest hole to fill. But
Dwayne, as an outsider,
yeah, I mean,
what do you think about this proposition that Montreal needs a box-to-box central midfielder, which might be actually very true?
Yeah, I think my observation on Montreal as the outsider is that maybe they need, they've got Donadel there that's sort of applying that glue, that grit, that I think is such a valuable player that plays that sweep-up role. But yeah, someone to sit in front of him, and I'm not entirely convinced on Ship like other people. I think he's got some great athletic ideas to him. Well, he's not the most athletic looking player. He can play an athletic game in his own accord. I just, there's something that would allow Piatti to roam a little bit more up front to play off of Drogba. That's the biggest mix to me, is how Piatti and Drogba, how they can better figure out how to work together, how they can find a formation that will allow those two to play off each other. Because right now, to me, they're kind of playing at odds, and that's the issue that I'm seeing with the impact over the last couple weeks, although this is not really a major problem when you look at some of the other issues in Major League Soccer. There's Montreal's, I think, still sitting pretty well.
For sure. I mean, we also have to be realistic about the salary cap situation that the MLS has, you know? So you can't be perfect at every position. I think it's the biggest issue probably, that if MLS wants to, you know, become a top five league in the world, like they say, well, they got to at least, you know, quadruple the salary cap.
Yeah, when they say they want to be one of the top leagues in the world by 2022, and I've said this before, I think that that's code for meaning they want to be one of the most profitable leagues in the world by 2022, because there's not a lot of evidence that I'm seeing that they're willing to make the investment that everyone understands that they would need to make to be able to compete on a playing field. Like, they have to catch Mexico before they could talk about catching England or Spain, right? And I
exactly.
think it's a bit silly to think.
I mean, that could be a realistic goal, to be better than the Mexican leagues. I mean, by 2022 for sure, but
I think that should be their goal.
What is the salary cap in MLS? I actually have no idea.
It's three. You caught me off guard a little bit. It's in the $3 million range, so it's
oh,
not
my,
a ton.
My God.
But if they
want to really raise that level, they gotta like tenfold.
Club
back,
America's value,
you know,
is $100 million on the pitch.
Yeah. You know, the thing about the MLS salary cap, though, is that, you know, it is what it is, but there's so much off-book possibilities that you can have teams that might spend as much as maybe $7 or $8 million, but still, that's, as you say, that's nowhere near what you're talking about when you're even talking about the Mexican League at this point. And that's one thing that frustrates me when they make rhetoric like best league in the world by 2022, is that they're not backing it up with expenditures, other than, you know, they make big splash signings. But there's not a ton of Jovinkos they're signing out there, right? And not to make it TFC focused, but they're not signing those guys in their prime. They're signing Pirlos, not Jovinkos. And that, to me, if you're going to become a top league, you need to be bringing in more guys like Jovinko, who, let's face it, was a reserve player for Juve before he came in, and he's dominating this league. And that tells you kind of where the level is relative to the top leagues in the world.
For sure. I mean, another thing, though, that hinders MLS is the fact that a lot of teams don't take CONCACAF Champions League seriously, because I think if an MLS team were to win that and go to the Club World Cup, that could be the best thing that happens to the MLS, to get exposure like that on the world stage and see how they match up against, you know, top South American teams or Asian teams. I mean, obviously they'd be destroyed by whoever the UEFA champion is, you know, it'd be a good measuring stick just to see where they are, you know, and to give more exposure. So that kind of bothers me, and a lot of teams don't take that competition seriously, especially, you know, like the Whitecaps, you know, like they just didn't seem to care about that. It's a bit frustrating.
Yeah, it's market driven, I think, in terms of the finances, and I've seen it firsthand across the league. Obviously, you guys in Montreal have a bit of a skewed view on it in terms of the ticket sales, and Montreal has always accepted that. And, you know, I think Montreal is a city that's used to comparing itself to the outside, to other parts, you know what I mean? So I think that they really grabbed onto them and caught their imagination in a way it doesn't necessarily catch other markets, although it is starting to become increasingly more of a focus of teams. I listened to an interview with TFC's Bill Manning, the president here, just today, where he specifically mentioned that TFC has a goal to get back to the CCL. It's been like 3 or 4 years since they've been in there now, and it's certainly the big game in the Dome is a fading memory. So it's good to hear other clubs say it. I know Real Salt Lake, which is where Manning came from, always prioritizes that competition. Seattle talks about prioritizing it, although they haven't had any success in it just as of yet. So it is good to see these increasing, you know, teams that want to do well in it, because it's fun too. I love those games. I really enjoyed being in Montreal for the final last year. Obviously, the TFC, even though they had a varying levels of success over the years, I enjoyed those games almost as much as anything. I remember the Santos Laguna game here in TFC, I guess it was 4 or 5 years ago now, was one of the most brilliant games I've ever seen. It had a brawl at the end, it had everything going on. It was a fun game. So those games are ones that I always remember, and I think a lot of fans that show up will remember. But that said, stadium wasn't full. for those games. We're talking about 15,000 at BMO rather than 20,000, and that tells you that there's still a lot of work to be done to sell it to the general audience who doesn't know who Santos Laguna is, right?
Right.
Pat from Montreal, thank you very much for giving us a call today.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, you are listening to Soccer Today on SPN Radio.
You are listening to Soccer Today, live on SPN Radio. Give us a call. Studio line 929-477-3874.
All righty, guys. You heard that number there, 929-477-3874, one more time. If we get another call, we'll keep this going for a few more minutes. Otherwise, let's look to shut her down at the bottom of this hour, 4:30 Eastern Standard Time. If you're listening to this later, it doesn't matter to you, Kevin. What do you, the CCL, what do you think is going to happen in the Voyagers Cup this year? Do you think that Montreal's going to go all out for it? I certainly, based on what I heard from Bill Manning today, it sounds like TFC is buying into it this season.
I think Montreal will do their best, but I do feel that they have that MLS drive, and it does come in a weird stage of the season now that, look, even if you get that Voyagers Cup this year, is for the next year. So for a player like Drogba, and yes, even though Nacho Piatti is under contract for next year, there's been some weird rumblings that he wants to go back to Argentina because of the health of his father. I do believe that he's going to honor his contract and be with Montreal. But there's that aspect too, that look, even if Didier Drogba gets a scoring goal for Montreal in the Voyagers Cup and they win the Voyagers Cup and they go to the Champions League, he won't be a part of this. So the fact that it's a season after, now with the new format of the Amway Canadian Championship, I don't necessarily think that they're going to prioritize this over what could be a playoff race or a positional race in the dog days of summer in the Eastern Conference table. So I think they will prioritize the MLS for sure this year because they will be in this position where they're either almost assured of a playoff spot and working for positioning for home field advantage or for even Supporters Shield, who knows, on the road. But or they'll be working for a playoff spot, which will be prioritized. So I don't necessarily see Montreal necessarily using it with their A team. Maybe they're going to use it more with their a couple of academy players, because now the academy players are available to play for the MLS teams in the Voyagers Cup team.
Yeah, for those that don't know, the winner of this Voyagers Cup, this Amway Canadian Championship, which will wrap up, it's a little bit later in the calendar year. It starts in June. It normally would have been going already, but it will end in July. The winner will not actually enter the Champions League until August 2017. So that is quite a ways off now for people to wait. And certainly when you're talking about a guy like Drogba, like, there's just no chance he's going to be around.
It's like 18 months wait. You get that golden ticket wing and you have to wait 18 months because you have the group stage in the fall and then the knockout stage in the following spring. So it's like almost 2 years away when you think about it.
Yeah, no, it'd be 2018 before, like, when we saw that game at the Big O, the earliest another one of those big nights at the Big O for a CONCACAF Champions League game would be in 2018, and that is
and
just,
we just started it's 2016.
Yeah,
it would be now. Like, it would be last week when America won, because it was last week, the final, the second leg. So it
yeah.
is 2 years.
And that's an interesting thing, you know, the caller talks to, and I hear that a lot. I hear that here in Toronto, too. I hear that there's some people in Vancouver that would have the same idea, that the team should prioritize the CCL play and should prioritize the Voyagers Cup to get to the CCL, because it's all really kind of the same competition when you look at it. I always tend to – I'm not someone who's always going to take the MLS team's side on some of their perspective, but I kind of get why they – kind of don't pay all that close attention to this sometimes, because the attendance doesn't really match the passion of the hardcore fan. The hardcore fan loves this competition, Kevin. They love it so much. It appeals to the soccer geek in us. And let's face it, if you're a hardcore MLS fan, you're a soccer geek, right? And you're going to love playing Club America. You're going to love playing Santos Laguna. You're going to Pumas, you know, all this.
If you're listening to us, you're a soccer geek.
Yeah, so you love that competition, and it's just hard to not wrap your head around people that look at it and go, well, I don't know. Like, I mean, I'll tell you a conversation I have with a good friend of mine from university who he married a Scottish girl, and their family are big soccer fans, so that he became a soccer fan through her. So he's not, you know, passionate about it by any means. He doesn't dislike it. He just goes to the games and enjoys himself at TFC. I remember having a conversation with him before a Voyagers Cup game a couple years ago when I asked him whether he'd be going, and he said to me, and this again, he's in a family where they know the sport, they understand stuff about the sport, but they're not necessarily reading the blogs and listening to the podcasts and on there all the time. He said to me, why would we go to that? It's just a friendly. To wrap the head around the idea that it's a cup competition, that it's a parallel competition, is not something that casual North American fans necessarily get. And if you're listening to this show, that might frustrate you. It probably does frustrate you. But it's the reality of it, right? Like, you have to do that extra level of selling to sell the tickets. You have to tell people what the competition is first. And then
Wayne, how many times did you have that conversation of, what's the Champions League? And does Toronto play Real Madrid this year? Or when are they going to play Barca? Or, yeah, those questions, I think I've answered them probably millions of times over the last 4 years.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, too, sometimes.
You don't want to play Barca. Really? Come on, dude.
Yeah. Well, I should point out that the Club America, which is, as we saw, we both firsthand saw live last year. You saw them in Mexico City as well. Very good
team.
They
got knocked out early.
They don't do well at the Club World Cup. You know, it's a different level altogether. But that said, I get it. Like, I get why it would be appealing to someone in December to watch your team play. I'd be very curious to see how MLS would handle that. This is something, you know, talk about soccer geekdom here, but it's always something that interests me is how MLS, through the collective bargaining, through its players association, through things like that, would deal with a team in the Club World Cup, because it falls in the period that they collectively bargained as being off for. Obviously, I think the players, they're professional and they'd be inspired by this, would want to participate and would make accommodations, but it would be very interesting because it's the MLS off season, right? When this is happening, it happens around Christmas time, right after the MLS Cup. So you could potentially have a team that might even not make the playoffs in some cases. Certainly when TFC went to the semifinals, they were nowhere near the playoffs that year, right?
So the Montreal that year,
yeah,
the same thing.
So you could have a team that had been offered.
Sorry to interrupt, but when Montreal was qualified for it in 2013, they were not making the playoffs at all. They were in a bad slump, and it was like their savior or their escape boat, you would say.
Yeah, exactly. So you potentially would have a team that has shut things down since the last week of October, having to go 2 months and then come in and play. Well, you play the usually it's a Chinese team or a, you know, Korean team, right? Or maybe a Japanese team, like in that first round.
Asian or Oceanian team first, usually.
These are the quarterfinal. The host team plays Oceania, and the winner of that goes in. And it depends on they set it up. You might be playing a team from Africa. You might be playing a team from wherever. You have to play the first game before you get to the real big guys,
Brazil.
Though, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing there, too. And, I mean, it's not like you're guaranteed to go play Barcelona in that game. At any rate, so it's a lot of complication in terms of selling that. But that said, to me, and I said this on the show the other week, that the Voyagers Cup games have always been my favorite games of the year because of the history of that competition and how it was created by, you know, well, the cup anyway, it was created by the fans and all that sort of good stuff. So that's why I like that competition the most. It'd be interesting to see the Montreal-Toronto matchup this year. I do actually tend to agree with you that I think Montreal might very quietly put some of their kids out there, and then I think TFC is probably going to at least in the first leg of that game, they play the second
and
leg.
I
will be Montreal firstly win Toronto.
I want to be clear, Dwayne, on this point. I don't believe, and I don't want to throw Montreal back under the bus. No, it's just the circumstances of it, and the timing of it will dictate by Morabiello that he plays his eighth team in the MLS, and that schedule becomes really tight. We just saw Montreal play 3 games in 8 days. That type of schedule will appear in late July, August, and early September when those weekend and championship games are included in the schedule. So when this happens, the one game that will be taken into consideration as less important in regards to the actual standings where they are on the table will be that Amway Canadian Championship, because look, especially if there's injuries like there is right now. Let me just mention the injuries in the Montreal Impact as we speak very quickly. Andres Romero, Donny Toya, Kamara, Drogba got stepped on today. We'll see where he stands. To me, Cabrera is still, I don't know, we'll see where he stands, but he hasn't been the same type of player since that knock. So there's maybe not a fear, but a certain, it's hard to explain, but he's maybe a little thrown off by that injury that he had a few weeks ago. So that could be possible. But there's about 8 players today, I'm forgetting a couple of them, but 8 players today that were either not training or on their side just doing rehab exercise.
Yeah, it's a grind, the MLS season, and obviously having extra games at all add to that grind, and it's not always going to be, especially when you have, you know, especially when you have a lack of a financial push. And even in Montreal, you don't get 50,000, 60,000 in the early part of that competition, right? It's you've done okay in the past, but it's certainly been, it's certainly had other aspects there. I do think that as I said, the Toronto seems to be the team this year that might give it more try. Obviously, the NASL teams look at it as a big measuring stick as well, and they're tough. But I might rather play Montreal in the first round from a Toronto perspective than I would an Ottawa or an Edmonton, because I think they just have much more to choose. And we've seen it with Edmonton nearly knocking Vancouver off 2 years in a row. And I think it's only a matter of time until one of those NASL teams does pull the upset off and get to the final. Whether they can
and
win
you know
it
what,
from there, I don't know.
And you know what's a matter of time before it happens, too, Dwayne, is if when we see a NASL team play an MLS team and there's a bad injuries on either side. Because there is a certain element of that NASL team coming into that game with a very, I want to beat Goliath because I'm David attitude. And sometimes it can come with bad tackles or bad challenges. And that was the big, big question before the NASL was included in that championship, is they wanted reassurance from the NASL side that that wouldn't happen. So I wouldn't be surprised if actually it does happen in the future, because it's not necessarily a question of time, but it's second nature. It's human nature, that feeling of, look, we're like the little brother. We want to beat the big brother. And you just play a little harder, and that shoulder contact is just a little more powerful, and it leads to a bad injury to a superstar. And that would really be a shame, but it's almost a question of time.
Yeah, exactly. And certainly, I think that, not to be cynical about it, but I think that's some of the fear you get in when you have opening up these competitions to these smaller teams, too, that really the only way that they can close the gap sometimes is to hack it up a little bit. You know, you see it even within the top leagues in the world.
Parking the bus, right? It's the only thing they could do, in a way.
Yeah, and chop the stars.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So the number out one more time, Kevin. That's 929-477-3874. If we don't get a call in the next couple minutes, I'm going to say that we'll wrap it off at an hour. But as I'm also getting a little increasingly more distracted by the still 1-0 game here from Man City versus
84th
Real Madrid.
Minute. 1-0 Real Madrid. It's going into crunch time. Dwayne, to finish the show today, we talked about the Virgis Cup a lot. And for our American listeners, the U.S. Open Cup is a trophy that's been more than 100 years old. It's a trophy that everybody wanted to see the blueprint of it appear in our neck of the woods in Canada. What are your thoughts on the U.S. Open Cup? And is there a chance eventually that maybe not a third division or USL team, but that maybe an NSL team with money, like, I don't know, an OKC, for example, could make its way further and maybe to the final of that tournament?
To me, the most interesting U.S. Open Cup matchups are USL versus NASL. I think that for a lot of reasons, there's a lot of sort of rivalry instinctive between those two fan groups, those that think that the USL are, you know, MLS patsies or whatever, or you know, that they're farm teams and all that sort of stuff, versus, you know, the NASL, you know, sold out, passionate sort of independent supporters that are out there. The MLS versus the rest, I do think eventually we will see another non-MLS team win that thing, but it's going to be about once every 15 years or so that it happens. It's pretty clear when you watch the results over these years that when the MLS teams put their full resources behind these games, they win. And people in the NASL can say that because of the way that the games are awarded and how they bid for hosts and stuff like that, that this stack is stacked against them, and it might be, but that's all part of it, right? And it will be a while, I think, before we see that happen. The Cosmos are obviously the one that you would look at and think that maybe that might be something that they prioritize. I mean, they're making pretty big name signings here still. They're ultimately, it's hilarious. They make fun of MLS for being a retirement league. But if you look at some of the signings coming into NASL, they're you know, guys in their late 30s, not just even their early 30s. At any rate, I think that that's the one that you'd look out for. We certainly saw, you know, the Cosmos upset NYCFC last year in their run. So maybe there, but it's going to be a long shot. But I do find that NASL-USL matchups are going to be fascinating. The USL ran the table almost on them last year, and I certainly think the NASL team are going to.
Seven victories over the USL already. Seven victories over the USL last year. NASL over USL, I mean. Well, the opposite. Seven times last year, USL team beat the NSL here. I said it.
All right. Okay, on that note, since we don't have any more callers in the queue, Kevin, I think we'll maybe wrap it up. One more time, let's talk real briefly about the initiative. As I said, we're looking to do this as close to daily as possible. We'll get you out for another one in the near future, perhaps when I'm not as distracted by a Champions League game. We'll get it out there next week at least. Yeah, I don't know if there's going to be any more Champions League games for me to distracted by because we're down, 3 minutes to go here, plus stoppage. It's going to be very dramatic if City pulls this off, and I might injure myself if that happens. At any rate, we'll call it a day for that. Get the Patreon out there, and if you do want to see this get daily, then we do need to get that support out there. I hate to beg for it. I'm not going to beg for it. I'm just going to tell you bluntly that this is not free. For us, we're not looking to get rich, but we're not looking to get broke either. So if you do like this idea, if you do want it out there, if you do want to support independent soccer media in North America, then you do need to help us out. We will always get the podcast out. We're committed to giving you a lot of content, but the live stuff is a different level altogether. We're going to try our best, but we need your support. Kevin, you want to give those names, and then we'll say goodbye for the day?
That's patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork, patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork, or just go to the sportspodcastnetwork.com page and you'll find all the information. For Dwayne Rollins, I am Kevin Laramie. You have been listening to SPN Radio, and until next time, have a great soccer.
You are listening to SPN Radio, powered by the Sports Podcasting Network. Visit sportspodcastingnetwork.com for more.